All right, back with another episode of Let Me Say This. My name is Antonio Laborte. If you have been listening the past few days, you understand that I'm doing something called Quote Week, where I'm bringing in different quotes from different members of American history, more importantly, Black history, which is also the same thing, and just sharing different perspectives about it, talking about it, and giving a little background on who these people were and their impact on our reality today. So the first person I want to get to, her name is Afeni Shakur. Now, she was a more notable member of the Black Panther Party, most accurately, most specifically, from the New York 21 group. And on her own volition, under her own power, but also with the help of her son being Tupac, right? She had made her way in a place that I would like to call activism's history book, right? One of its more notable figures. I want to get right to the quote, and I want to talk about what it means for her to say what she said and her impact on it, and then what it means to me. So the quote goes like this. It says, "Trust me, you can't change anything without causing some degree of disruption. It's impossible. That is exactly what change is. Some people are uncomfortable with the disruption that change causes, but the disruption is necessary if anything is going to change." So from what I came to understand about Afeni was that her role in the Black Panthers Party came from writing and publishing work for the Panther Post newsletter, and also being involved in some more legal troubles and legal issues when it comes to the FBI and their attempt to try to pretty much oust her section of the Black Panther Party for doing things that they were later acquitted for. But nonetheless, I came across a quote that I was reading when I was doing some research for her. And I forget if it was for the Washington Post or New York Times, but it was a quote published around the time of her death in 2016 by Jamal Joseph, a member of the party. And pretty much she was talking about how her impact on the people around her was profoundly positive. And I wanted to just say this real quick. So he says, "Afeni would teach people how to lead themselves. She would not just help people then leave. She made sure you knew how to get out of your own circumstances and your own march toward liberation, being able to transform personally and in the community." Which I thought was just an amazing quote to, I mean, speak about a person and to have that impact on somebody's life. But to get back to the original quote, yeah, it makes sense. Listen, there isn't much of a change without change itself. It's pretty self-explanatory. Like, there is no remodeling of these issues without getting the right things in place to do just that. And there needs to be a steady stream of disturbances in this life in order for anything to really evolve. Things don't just magically switch up. I mean, there needs to be some sort of force behind it. Whether it's intentional or by accident isn't necessarily the point. But to her point, that's what was needed. Intentional change. That's what allowed nonsensical actions to be called out. And those behaving in nonsensical ways to also be called out. And just generally, things can change without you purposely setting things in motion. But when that happens, you're at the mercy of that motion going in a direction you may not want it to go in. So if given the luxury, because it is a luxury, given the privilege, choose the direction that you would most prefer to go in. Because someone else will gladly do it for you. Okay? Next quote. If you're listening to this right now, I would actually like you to stop listening and go to Netflix and watch I Am Not Your Negro. It will leave you more open to the world than you thought you were before you ever saw it. And it'll give you some insight on the genius of James Baldwin, who he is, and why I'm speaking about him right now. Okay? I wanted to do two quotes, right? So the first one's like this. He said, "I imagine one of the reasons people cling to their hate so stubbornly is because they sense once hate is gone, they will be forced to deal with the pain." I'm going to follow that quote up with another quote and try to work both in here the best that I can and kind of piece them together and give you what I think about it. The second part of it is, to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time. Oh, okay, so let's look at America's playbook, aka the Constitution, right? Frederick Douglass once asked the question, "Why does the government reject the Negro? Is he not a man?" My answer to that is, of course not. He was a means to an end. Black people were a means to an end. A stepping stone toward financial gain. a pawn in one of the worst games ever created. History books will call this game Manifest Destiny. I call it the greatest trick ever played on humanity. But anyway, once hate is gone, these people who carry this hate with them will be forced to deal with pain. Hate is like a stalemate. It's a blockage. It stops you from leaving behind uncertainty and moving toward a sense of acceptance. When hate gets introduced into the conversation, it brings with it another variable that was not formally invited to this exchange, and that's pain. You see, hate is like a mask, okay? Pain is what happens when acceptance tries to uncover said mask. And depending on how deep these scars go, is how quick someone's willing to, let's say, knock the hand of acceptance away from trying to uncover that hate. To expose yourself to what you have not been regularly shown brings you back to the beginning of this exchange, and that's the uncertainty. I say all this because uncertainty is uncomfortable. People don't like uncomfortable. Logically, it makes sense. Biologically, in our nature, we don't want to be in a state of, anxiousness. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We want to be as comfortable as possible. So it just makes sense. View hate as a way to avoid having to start over. A way to never reintroduce an old memory of pain. Even though that this pattern, it's going to mimic the past. It's going to produce the same result that it did before. But you're falsely believing that if you just keep layering this hate over this pain, it'll eventually subside or handle itself, or someone or something may come along and do the unmasking for you. And I want to talk about that quote about the rage, because you may think, well, you know, how is it excusable for one person to have this hate and rage, but not for another, right? Hate and rage are mistaken as similar, but are caused and continue through different means. You see, hate is a failure to open up to what has caused you this rage and work through these feelings effectively. Hate is built upon. It's foundational. It becomes a pattern. And this pattern has been reinforced. Rage is more visceral. It's reactionary. It's a result of someone or something sparking these feelings within us. So when James Baldwin says to be a Negro and to be relatively conscious is to be in rage, it's because the awareness of what hate has produced in this country will bring out a strong reaction, a frustration, and anger that things were the way that they were, which caused things to be what they are now. A black person is told that regardless of what kind of pain was placed on your shoulders and the shoulders of the people before you, it's on you to start your own healing process without any type of real apology, which, just for your information, there is no successful apology that can ever be given under these circumstances, but nonetheless. But to be aware of this fact and to be black in this country, you may not show it in every interaction. You may not carry it with you everywhere you go. You may not bring it up in every conversation, but in the back of your mind is a disturbing feeling, an unsettling, a dread. A low-lit ball of rage stays with you as you continue to make sense of your surroundings. As you continue to move in this world, you have that with you no matter what, under the circumstances that James Baldwin said, to be a Negro and to be relatively conscious. Next quote. So you may know this name simply by association with the word Stonewall, outspoken LGBTQ rights activist, and one of the more prominent figures for this fight for social change. Marsha P. Johnson shares an interesting look at the way history should be examined and interpreted when we choose to flip back the page of history, if you will. Okay, the quote goes like this. History isn't something you look back at and say it was inevitable. it happens because people make decisions that are sometimes very impulsive and of the moment. But those moments are cumulative realities. I think Marsha hit it right in the head with this. Listen, we can't chalk up every blemish of history as a result of the times, or every act of cruelty as not knowing better. Real people made real decisions about the way they thought their life, and in some cases, the lives of others should go. Throughout time, throughout different parts of the world, people with the most valuable influence got first and final say. In this country, that belonged to white men with money. In Europe, it was the same plan. These circumstances and the rewriting of this same circumstance across centuries, across time, this produced the reality of what it is to be here today. Like Marsha states, it's cumulative, it's not accidental, and it's not a rarity. We are the product of repavement, the same modes of living being passed on, the same customs, the same general culture, the same cultural expectations. And these expectations were birthed by this dynamic that, you know, the mentality of a few people get to filter out the lives of many elsewhere, you know? So influence was kept in the hands of a certain type of human being. The operation of the world got impacted by this mentality of a few, the desires of a few. Hopefully, we see a strong, long-standing change in whose voices are being amplified, whose thoughts are allowed consideration and access into the decision-making. Like the theme of this episode, we talk about change, seeking greater consciousness, choices having long-standing realities. We need a change in guard. The voice of the past has placed hate in the hearts of many and rage in the hearts of even more people. But I'm human, so I'm hopeful by definition. The fact that I'm here today to share this in any stretch means that hope, in some way, has a slight edge over despair. At least I like to think so. But like anything, we'll just have to see, you know? We'll see where it goes. We'll see what happens to the way of the world. And if it changes for the better, if not, then you'll have people try to continue the good fight. Have a good day.